finding the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on the TV screen. But it's on the radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller. We'll be with you live for the next 2 hours on this Friday, the 12th of May, 2006. Almost half a year gone, folks. Are we any better off than we were January 1? No, we're not. I've got Dar Jamal coming on. His Iraq dispatches. He'll be with us after the first break. But I wanted to spend a couple of minutes here on this, all the surveys they've been taking about phone record surveillance. ABC News, which, by the way, last night I got a call at the house, and somebody was taking a poll for ABC and the Washington Times. And it was quite lengthy. It took me about 15 minutes. And it covered the gamut about Bush. You know, what do you think of Hillary? You know, and you get the questions. You know, do you strongly disagree? Do you disagree? You know, that kind of deal. And, of course, I look at the ABC News phone record surveillance as broadly acceptable to public. Gary Langer and Dahlia Sussman, which is, this whole thing is suspect. Americans, by nearly a 2-to-1 ratio, call their surveillance of telephone records an acceptable way for the federal government to investigate possible terrorist threats, expressing broad unconcern, even though their own calling patterns are scrutinized. Now, they're saying that the NSA phone records program, is collecting phone records acceptable? 63% say yes, it's acceptable. 35% say no. Would it bother you if there was a record of your phone calls? 34% said yes, and 66% said no. Now, I looked at Detroit News, and they did a survey. A government spy agency has been secretly collecting records of millions of ordinary Americans, their phone calls, to build a database of every call made within the country, according to a published report. If this is confirmed, do you consider it unwarranted breach of privacy or no cause for alarm? 53, almost 54% of the respondents says it's completely unacceptable. Now, there was a little section in the newspaper that you could leave your comments, and I've been reading some of these comments, and I don't even see where they got, they say that it's completely unacceptable, almost 54%, and 46% said if it fights terror, I'm all for it. Well, as I read their chat list, I'm looking at this, and I don't see 46% agreeing with this. I see as a 9-to-1 ratio against it. One person, JB from Long Beach, California, evidently reads Detroit Free Press, or the Detroit News, rather, online, said, I'd rather see my family killed at the hands of terrorists than live in a country where this type of thing is permitted. This is repugnant, and anyone who supports this is a lousy American and does not deserve to live here. They have 15 pages of letters. I keep reading the letters. As I said, a 9-to-1 ratio. So evidently what's going on here is that people that are saying that they don't like what's going on evidently don't care enough to blog it and put their name and address to it. Now, one could make that assumption, but I think that's an incorrect assumption. I would say that it's at least running 75-25 against what's going on. And this is a test of the American people's stupidity, checking their opinion based on the garbage they get out of the mainstream media and the White House. We'll be right back.
With Mother's Day rapidly approaching on May 14th, the American Gold Rose Company reminds you that their beautiful collection of real roses dipped in 24-karat gold may be just what you're looking for. The Classic Rose is priced at only $49.95. It's 11 inches long and comes in a beautiful red gift box. There's the Hollywood Elite Rose for only $65, where your special someone receives a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered to their door in a beautiful gold presentation box. Both are unique gifts, and when you buy any two gold roses, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold, a $30 value free. The American Gold Rose Company. Call now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. Fresh cut roses, dipped in 24-karat gold, delivered to their door that last a lifetime. That's 1-800-458-7134 or online at AmericanGoldRose.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
One of the letters that a person blogged to this, and I like this one, the ultimate chat list, that is the forum for this. One person wrote, the justification being used that is this. Had this program been in place before 9/11, it would have never have happened. Okay, that may be true, but by the same logic, the same could be said for a giant concrete dome that ensures nobody can gain access to this country if they're brown. In other words, encapsulated in cement. Or simply abolishing the aviation industry. Or we could have instituted a program that doesn't allow Muslims to fly, or even those that appear to be Muslim. Or why not just make every phone call, email, text message, letter, face-to-face conversation, and facial gesture open to complete and uninhibited scrutiny by the government? It's absolutely ridiculous that so many people are so gullible that they'd actually buy this justification. We belong to a free country where I should be able to call my fellow Americans without the worry of whether or not someone's listening. Why should this bother me? Not because I'm a drug dealer, and not because I have something to hide. It bothers me because this is not what we as a free democratic society are about. Instead of being steadfast in our fight to save both our ideals as well as secure our nation, we are surrendering our rights one by one. The enemy is laughing. They hate us because of our freedom. That is a statement that was repeated ad nauseum throughout GW's tenure. So by that qualification, we're losing the war on terror through the surrendering of our liberties. We must want the enemy to like us more, I suppose. To all of you that have read this perverted understanding that being against giving up our civil liberties equates to having something to hide, get a clue. Fighting for our freedoms is more than just protecting ourselves. It's about protecting our ideals, our future, and our children. We are in less danger now than we were in 9/11. That's the theory. If only due to the heightened awareness of our great citizens, the administration would have you believe we are in imminent danger because fear will prompt most people to do almost anything, including supporting the destruction of our civil liberties. And that was written by B. Fuson out of Utica, Michigan. Probably doesn't listen to the show, but hey, there's somebody out there that can see. He has the special glasses on. My guest today, Dal Jamar, weary of the overall failure of the U.S. media to accurately report on the realities of the war in Iraq for the Iraqi people and for U.S. soldiers, Dal Jamar went to Iraq to report on the war himself. His dispatches were quickly recognized as an important media resource, and he is now writing for the Interpress Service, the Asia Times, and many other outlets. His reports have also been published with The Nation, The Sunday Herald, Islam Online, The Guardian, and The Independent, just to name a few. Dal's dispatches and hard news stories have been translated into French, Polish, German, Dutch, Spanish, Japanese, Portuguese, and Chinese, Arabic, and Turkish. On the radio, Dar is a special correspondent for Flashpoints and reports for Democracy Now. I'm sorry to hear that, and numerous other stations around the globe. Not that the people of Democracy Now, the people that listen or watch that, are necessarily they need information too. But take a look at Democracy Now and who funds it and what they're all about. That's the only reason I made that comment. At any rate, I've got Dal Jamar online. Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
I'm okay. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. what I would like you to do, Dal, since you have been over in Iraq, you came back not too long ago. You were over there for 8 months. I've been reading your stories, your latest post, and I wished that this was in major newspapers around the country, because what you're giving is an accurate description as to what is going on in Iraq right now. They're in the middle, apparently, it would be much worse if the U.S. servicemen were not there as paper cutout targets on street corners to shoot at or blow up. It would be a whole lot worse than it is right now. But they've got a civil war going on right now, and it's getting worse, is it not?
It is. I've continued to describe it as a low-grade civil war, and this was something that when I was over there in February 05, I was really hoping, it seemed to be this is where it was heading, but there was still a lot of hope that it wasn't going to degrade into this situation. But now it's, unfortunately, we're just forced to look at the reality, and that is that, you know, with bodies turning up on the streets of Baghdad, sometimes in the 50s and 60s on a daily basis, the vast majority of them, their hands tied behind their back and shot in the head, oftentimes with massive signs of torture on them. One of the preferred methods of torture by the death squads now is using drills on people to kill them. So that just gives you a very rough idea of the daily reality over there, where even recently the Baghdad morgue, an official there reported to one of my sources that they're receiving on average of 85 bodies a day. And these are just special cases where they're not exactly sure, like mysterious deaths, murders, this sort of thing. This does not include just people who are dying for normal reasons or reasons that are very obvious to them.
If you would, could you break this down for our listeners? Because there's always new people joining us, and a lot of folks don't understand what has happened to Iraq since Saddam Hussein, who the different factions are, who the people are in government struggling for power. If you could, if you will do this, Dar, could you break this down for our listeners as to the Shiites and the Sunnis and who these people are, who's involved over there, the different factions, the militias, whatever else? Could you give a pretty concise, clear picture as to what has happened post-Saddam Hussein to current day?
I'll do my best to be concise. As you know, that's it's extremely complicated. But roughly what's happened is that, really just maybe starting with what's happening right now, is that we have had elections that were essentially forced by Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, who is an Iranian cleric. He is the leading and most powerful Shiite cleric in Iraq. The Shiite is the majority population in that country. This is an individual who came to Najaf, Iraq, in 1953. He was actually born in Iran and still speaks Persian. He won't even speak Arabic. So just to kind of give you a little background on that. But then essentially the U.S. under the Coalition Provisional Authority did not want to have elections. Paul Bremer, head of the CPA at the time, wanted to delay them essentially indefinitely. But in the middle of January 04, Sistani basically called the media demonstrations and basically locked down the country and forced Bremer to give up the date of January 30, 05 for elections. And Sistani did this because he knew that with the vast majority and people basically following what they were told by their religious leaders to do, would vote in a primarily Shia and primarily people of his political representation into power. And that's exactly what has happened, which has led us essentially up to today, where they, of course, have the majority representation of a government which is very pro-Iranian now and very fundamentalist. Women's rights are basically out the window, and this is why so many academics and secular people, particularly Sunnis, are being assassinated regularly in Iraq. And because of this, we have the ongoing resistance, which is primarily Sunni, now continuing to fight occupation forces. But then we also have another Shia cleric, Murtada al-Sadr, who, while he is politically in line with the Sistani people, also has an armed resistance going, and this is why we see more British casualties in the south recently. I think it was last week we had a helicopter shot down and 5 soldiers killed, and more and more clashes down in the south too. So essentially what we have now is a fundamentalist pro-Iranian Shia body who has the majority in the government, but we also have a relatively solid Kurdish and Sunni proportion of that government, but they are, of course, a distinct minority. So that's why the government can't really, it needs more time to figure out agreements and make compromises on all sides. And they're simply not being allowed this time under pressure from the U.S., also pressure with Western companies who have contracts such as Halliburton in Iraq.
We've, in one of the pieces that you wrote on May 3rd, Harold Pinter, in his book, War with Iraq, this is interesting. All the dead air is alive with the smell of America's God. I'm looking at this situation, Dar, and we've got a problem here. We've heard the Bush White House talk about maybe reducing the number of troops in Iraq. I don't see where this is going to be possible, because that's going to put the American soldiers that are in Iraq right now in greater harm's way. I like that term that they use. They pick a fight and then complain about our soldiers being in harm's way. But we've got a real problem here, because if we reduce the number of U.S. troops over there, I do believe the casualties, U.S. casualties, will rise. The situation in Iraq will get further out of control. They're going to have to do one of two things here, either get totally out of this thing or go in with as many ground troops as they can possibly muster to lock that country down. But that wasn't the intent of going over to Iraq. It was to democratize them, to get rid of this evil Saddam Hussein. The country is absolutely in tatters. Their infrastructure is still shoddy and part-time at best. Power transmission, generating electricity, whatever the case may be. The country is popped inside out. I don't see any other solution here unless we want to do a major, total, 100% occupation. You know, Donald Rumsfeld was criticized for underestimating the troops needed to do the job, but they never described what the job was supposed to be. If you're going to occupy a country, lock it down. We didn't do a half measure in Germany after Hitler in World War II. What makes them think that they can do it with troops on the ground in Iraq right now? We'll be right back with my guest, Dar Jamal.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
On Rick Adams' show, Radio Free America, last night, he interviewed Wafal, I think the woman's name is Nathema. Dar, are you familiar with this person?
I'm not.
Okay, she's from the Institute of Near Eastern and African Studies. And she had made the claim that a lot of the things that are going on, the supposed terrorist acts between these two groups, are actually being done by operatives inside that country to pit these two factions against each other and really stir the pot. Have you heard anything like this?
I have, actually. And you know, that there's two instances that have been even reported in the news that we can cite that definitely point in this direction. And the most recent was in March in Crete when a unmarked car with two Western security contractors was pulled over by Iraqi security forces, and the car had a lot of explosives and detonating devices in it. And then promptly after that, U.S. forces took control of the situation and got the Western security contractors back in their control. It was a roughly similar incident to something which happened down in Basra last fall. I believe it was around October, November or so, when two more undercover British SAS officers were in an unmarked car. They were even dressed local, trying to appear Iraqi, wearing local garb, and they were pulled over by Iraqi security forces with another car full of explosives and remote detonating devices, and were promptly thrown in jail by the Iraqi security forces, and then were also promptly broken out of that jail by British military forces, tanks backed by helicopters, which essentially raised the jail, freed their two guys and the other 75 prisoners in there, and got them back. And that, of course, didn't help lower tensions between the British forces down there and the authorities in that area. So those are two that we can point to distinctly. And from almost the very beginning when I was going over to Iraq, we were hearing lots and lots of people talking about these types of covert operations, but we really didn't have any hard proof until these two incidents.
Well, we're getting ready to, and I'm very pleased. Evidently, there's been enough backlash, not only from the people here in this country, but I've been watching with some curiosity about the meetings that have been going on with the UN, particularly Mr. Bolton, which is our representative to the United Nations. And I've been listening to the rhetoric that's being thrown around. Things are not well in UN land. They can't seem to come to a consensus. Bolton said the other day, we're real close to implementing sanctions in Iran. We're getting ready to do that. But apparently there's a group that is not down with George Bush's let's go to Iran and let's kick some more butt. Because if they figured, hey, Dar, if they figured that Iraq was a bad deal, wait till they get to Iran. Now, they're still downplaying the number of soldiers dead. I mean, it's almost like a 2020 headline, CNN headline news. You know, they give you a quick little blurb about how many Americans were killed over in Iraq, and that's it. They're not reporting on who's doing what over there, because I guess they can't clear this through the intelligence agencies fast enough to put the proper spin and lie to the American public. So we have no stories at all. We just hear about car bombings going on over there. We hear the president now informing every member of his cabinet at any given time at press conferences to add that the war on terrorism is going well, we're winning in Iraq, and blah, blah, blah. And I don't care what they're... It could be the Department of Agriculture giving a press conference, and all of a sudden the Department of Agriculture is touting the Bush line. With as much propaganda that they have put out and the omission of what's really going on over there, Bush's ratings, I think, are down now to 29%. Are we going to see, because this has been pushed back, we were supposed to go into Iran, last month, maybe in March? Well, it could have happened in April. Here we are. Mid-May almost, and there's still no plans to go into Iraq, at least that we have been told, but this has been pushed back. Is there a possibility, and this is based on your opinion and what you've seen and read and who you've talked to, is there a possibility in the last 1,000 days of this Bush presidency that we may not see an invasion into Iran?
Well, I wish I could say that there is, but I would be absolutely shocked if we didn't see, at the very least, a massive aerial bombardment of Iran before the end of this term. Because I think the fallacy that we all get into, myself, yourself maybe, is that we continue to try to apply logic to these people and their agenda, and that's the big fallacy, I think, and I'm certainly guilty of thinking, no, they couldn't possibly do this. It's absolutely insane. All of the leading intelligence people, not just within this country but several other countries, are saying this would be an absolute disaster. Don't do it. We recommend strongly against it, as did several of even the top brass in the U.S. military prior to the invasion of Iraq. And, of course, so many people predicted what would happen, which is exactly what we're seeing today. And that same thing's going on with Iran, but we see the same charging forward, the same propaganda coming out about Iran. They're going to have nuclear weapons, when even people within the CIA estimate the soonest that could happen would be 3 years from now, some as high as 10 years from now. So we're seeing sort of a replay, very disturbingly, much like what happened to Iraq, and I think that's really the most worrisome thing to me, that shows that they're bound and determined to do this one way or another, even if it's without any other countries going along with it.
All right. When we get back out of the break, I want to read something that you put in your April 18th article about the ongoing war on truth in Iraq. It was something that was written over almost 100 years ago. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
With Mother's Day rapidly approaching on May 14th, the American Gold Rose Company reminds you that their beautiful collection of real roses dipped in 24-karat gold may be just what you're looking for. The Classic Rose is priced at only $49.95. It's 11 inches long and comes in a beautiful red gift box. There's the Hollywood Elite Rose for only $65, where your special someone receives a long-stem gold rose, 17 inches long, delivered to their door in a beautiful gold presentation box. Both are unique gifts, and when you buy any two gold roses, you'll receive free a genuine rose leaf dipped in 24-karat gold, a $30 value free. The American Gold Rose Company. Call now at 1-800-458-7134. That's 1-800-458-7134. Fresh cut roses, dipped in 24-karat gold, delivered to their door that last a lifetime. That's 1-800-458-7134 or online at AmericanGoldRose.com.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities, the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Oh, the Sunday Times, on or about August 1920, T.E. Lawrence, better known as Lawrence of Arabia, said this: "The people of England have been led in Mesopotamia into a trap from which it will be hard to escape with dignity and honor. They have been tricked into it by a steady withholding of information. The Baghdad communiques are belated, insincere, incomplete. Things have been far worse than we have been told. Our administration more bloody and inefficient than the public knows. We are today not far from disaster." Why is it that we have to keep repeating the stupid mistakes, Darl? I am amazed with this.
That is a really amazing quote, and if you really look even further on into the full version of that quote, he goes on to talk about uprisings that the British military had to deal with and put down, killing thousands of Iraqis, and then the parallels don't stop there. If you look at One of the major areas where uprisings began was Fallujah. Even back during the British occupation, they shelled the city. They used chemical weapons on villages around that city. So really, it's just a stupefying the closeness of history repeating itself with this occupation to one 80 years ago. It's really just astounding. And I think, obviously, with people like Bush, who probably has never even read history, I think is one big reason why they're loath to repeat it, basically just out of arrogance and ignorance.
I would like to think that it's arrogance or ignorance, but I feel in my heart of hearts that there's something more not benign, not just stupid mistakes being repeated. I mean, we have a penchant as human beings to keep repeating the same mistakes all over again. But when you get to be president of the United States and you have intelligence agencies all over the world of which your people can garner information from, and if you've got two brain cells that can synapse between each other, then you should have a pretty clear picture. I mean, if you hire somebody like Donald Rumsfeld to go run a war for you, and the closest this guy's ever got to war was a boardroom, and you see repeated mistakes and failures and so on and so forth, Rumsfeld, Bush is not going to get rid of Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld is a steadfast buddy in this debacle, so he's going to stay right by his side. He's not going anywhere. That they've been pressing real, real hard for his resignation. This guy, Rummy, is not going anywhere. Al Jazeera came out with a story just a couple of days ago that said that the Mossad has murdered 530 Iraqi scientists and academics. The numerous reports for many months have stated that with collaboration from American occupation forces, Israeli espionage apparatus, the Mossad, slaughtered at least 530 Iraqi scientists and professors. Persistent Israeli hit squads against Iraqi scientists have been active in Iraq since April of 2003, but the latest chapter was uncovered on Tuesday, 14 June of last year, by the Palestine Information Center, which, citing a report compiled by the United States Department of State and intended for the American president, stated that the Israel and foreign agents sent by the Mossad in cooperation with the United States to Iraq killed at least 350 Iraqi scientists and more than 200 university professors and academic personalities. According to the report, which was referred to the U.S. President, Mr. George, Mossad agents have been operating in Iraq with the aim of liquidating Iraqi nuclear and biological scientists, among other scientists and prominent university professors. That was after, by the way, Dahl, that the U.S. failed to persuade those scientists to cooperate or work for it. So these people, just by saying no to the U.S., is being deemed as a potential threat with a resurgence of what? They didn't even make their own chemical weapons. We sold them to them. I mean, we're buds and pals with the Israelis, which they've been selling nuclear secrets to China, building the next boogeyman on the face of the planet. Why is it, and this is a rhetorical question, but I want your response to it, but why is it that the American media is never mentioning Israel in any negative light whatsoever? It is almost like Israel is not in the Middle East, that they're over in Siberia somewhere.
You know, I think you and I probably see eye to eye on this, and it frustrates the hell out of me, frankly, that I, you know, really even writing about this. I wrote an article called An Alliance of Violence a little ways back for Truth Out, and it basically highlighted the fact that every time the Israeli military carries out an operation in Palestine, there's huge blowback in Iraq, and it, of course, affects our U.S. soldiers there being attacked then as a result of basically Israeli policy. And it's very, very closely linked. And you can imagine the hate mail I got from that one. You know, basically like, well, poor little, you know, there's this belief of poor little Israel, this tiny little country surrounded by all these angry, mean, fierce Arab countries can't protect itself, of course, is totally bogus when we look at the fact that the largest fleet of F-16s outside of the U.S. is, guess where? It's in Israel. And of course, having the fourth most powerful military on the planet, being a major nuclear power, and it's really absurd. And you know, this article that you bring up is, you know, it should be having mainstream play. That there's this is I think it's not a stretch to start referring to this as genocidal. And it's not something that just started to happen. This was part of the plan from the very beginning. I'm sure it was talked about pre-war, because even as far back as October 30, 2004, there's a media outlet, an Arab media outlet called Azaman, that reported even then that over 310 Iraqi scientists were killed by Israeli secret agents, Mossad, starting in April 03. So right when the occupation began, this campaign went into effect. And to think that this situation with Iraq and a potential situation with Iran isn't brought about and being brought about by Israeli influence on the U.S. government, because it will benefit Israel somehow, to not understand that and get that is really to be in total denial, because we have to look at who's pulling the strings and who's pulling the strings of so many American politicians, and that's what's making this happen.
Well, and it's amazing. And if you note the coverage about the ongoing conflict between the Palestinians and Israelis, that's even left the airwaves. You hardly hear anything about that anymore. Go ahead.
And right now, that situation is as bad as it's been in years, where there's a gross embargo being imposed upon the Palestinian people since they didn't elect the people that the U.S. government wanted them to elect, and certainly not who the Israelis wanted them to elect. They elected Hamas. It was a legitimate election. It was democratic. And now there's fuel embargoes and food embargoes and targetings and shellings going on in Palestine, and particularly in Gaza, where, you know, just like you said, it's not being reported. It's like it doesn't even exist. And yet this is but one of the longest occupations in history. It's bloody, it's brutal. There's human rights violations being committed on a daily basis on both sides. And where is the media on this? This is really critical stuff. And again, as you well know, I'm sure that, you know, the situation in Palestine has huge ramifications across the Middle East. And until that is handled appropriately, the idea of peace or something settling down in that region is just a pipe dream until that happens. And how can it happen when the media not only doesn't report it, but when they do, horribly skews it?
Well, and this could be very simple. This doesn't have to be, you don't have to hold a press conference on this. The President of the United States could simply tell Israel right now, get the hell out of Palestine, or we're going to cut your water off. We're going to stop sending you billions of dollars every year. We're going to stop selling you aircraft, military hardware. We're just basically going to cut your water off unless you get out of Palestine. That would end it like that. I mean, it would almost stop overnight. And I already know the answer to the question I already asked, because Israel, because we have a primarily controlled Jewish press in this country, and I mean electronic media or those that are in favor of the state of Israel. For what reason, I don't know. They don't ever evidently understand history. They don't understand Israel's history. They don't know who's been in power since that country first started back in 1948, and it's conveniently left off the radar scope. But the mere fact that it is being handled right now, that we have no negative stories about Israel and Palestine going on right now, because the rest of the Middle East is very concerned with what is happening to the Palestinians. Every time I see a news story that talks about Iraq wanting nuclear weapons or basically thumbing their nose to the rest of the global community about nuclear proliferation, this, that, and the other, not one time will you ever see mentioned that, oh, we forgot to report that Israel has bought subs. They have outfitted submarines with nuclear weapons. They have ground-to-air missiles. They have all kinds of nuclear delivery platforms. And by the way, they have about 400 nuclear warheads. You're not going to see this. And I've said this to you when you were on this program before. I don't care if Iran has nuclear weapons. If they have a small arsenal of nuclear weapons for self-defense, they would absolutely be insane to launch a nuclear attack on Israel, because that would spell their end. They would be absolutely insane to attack the United States with nuclear weapons, because the same thing, we could lob enough missiles over there. Literally, Mr. Jamal, we could turn that whole country into a glass parking lot. When you enter into the nuclear age, you have nuclear weapons, your responsibility ratchets up immensely. There has not been a nuclear exchange between any country on the face of this planet ever. The first aggressor with the nuclear weapons was the United States. we had to demonstrate to the Russians and the Japanese and to everybody around the world that, hey, we've got these weapons now and we'll use them. But there has been not one recorded incident since the 40s, since everybody got nuclear weapons, of ever being an aggressor with a nuclear weapon against another country, because it's insane to do so. So this rhetoric that I keep hearing and seeing, you know, it is absolutely insane. I'm not for more and more countries gaining nuclear weapons, but at the same token, I'm not satisfied sitting back and literally stripping a country bare for an invasion under false pretenses, the same way that we did with Iraq.
Exactly, and the hypocrisy is stunning. I'm in total agreement with you that if Israel has the amount of nuclear weapons that they have, which I think the minimum estimate I've heard is at least 300, and Iran, of course, under the watchful eye of the UN, and they are having inspections and have had them and would have them again if they were allowed to have a program just for nuclear energy. I think that the feasibility of them having a nuclear weapon, again, we're talking years down the road, but I agree. If Israel's going to have them, I don't think it's a stretch to say that, well, Iran should have them, or neither of them should have them. It should be one or the other. And I think, again, this gets back to the fact of Israeli influence on U.S. foreign policy, because, of course, we get back to the project for the new American
Did you say influencing the policy or drawing up the policy?
Right. I was being diplomatic.
Okay.
Drawing up. Because if we look at the members, just a few of the members of the Project for the New American Century, John Bolton, who is now our UN representative. This is a man who is also a member of the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, JINSA, who actually nominated him for the Nobel Peace Prize this year, in case you didn't know that. Richard Perle with PNAC, Paul Wolfowitz with PNAC, Dick Cheney, all of these people regularly go give talks to the AIPAC lobby group, so it's very, very clear to look and see who's drawing up the policy and who it really benefits at the end of the day. And is it the American people? Absolutely not.
And let me ask you the obvious question. Now, Israel, without their nuclear armaments, is in the scale of human history, they're not a bunch of Billy Badasses, okay? They have had their skirmishes with people. They've killed a number of people. They've had a number of people of their people killed. But it always seems that Israel is in there mixing it up to create conflict and create contention. If they were left, I don't want to say defenseless, because I don't like to see anybody on the face of the planet defenseless against any of its neighbors. Fences and borders do good, make for good neighbors. And, you know, it's been argued if, you know, your neighbor has a bigger stick as you have, if you get in an argument, you're less inclined to crawl over his fence and go thump the crap out of him. But here's my point. If we have Israel, which has been funneling nuclear secrets, all kinds of technologies to other people that are getting from the United States throughout the world, you know, China is one of our economic buds and pals now, but militarily, we're scared to death of China and what they're doing with all the money that they're now receiving from the sales of products and everything else from the United States. It would seem to me that if people would just back off of Israel, Israel would somehow find a way to be a little bit more peaceful, would want to converse a little bit more with their neighbors, and there wouldn't be this hell-bent project with eliminating Islamic nations in the Middle East right now if it were not for Israel.
I think that's a very important point, and I think that one of the, you know, ironically, I could imagine the arguments coming out of this if this was run in the mainstream media, but ironically, I think the engine fueling this problem is unbridled U.S. economic and military support of Israel. We're giving billions of dollars of them every single year, so much of it in military aid, even direct hardware at times with weaponry and jets. And if that was stopped, I agree with you completely. They would be put into a position where they would be forced to be reasonable and pursue passive peace, whether it's a one-state or even a two-state solution in Palestine, rather than using these heavy-handed tactics and a brutal occupation, which, you know, you can only run the experiment so many times and get the exact same result until you have to admit, okay, well, here's the proof, a violent occupation over a people is just simply not a good policy. It's not going to provide peace for people on either side of that gunpoint. So it's really, I think, a direct result of USAID. It's almost like the U.S. is enabling and assisting this problem to proceed on into the future indefinitely. And until that aid dries up, I agree. I don't think we're going to see a peaceful solution, because until that aid stops, Israel continues to have the biggest stick in the Middle East, and it's because of the U.S. and it's because of these policymakers in the U.S. government that are essentially supporting that cause, and they're controlling the media. They are heavily influencing the media from really running the truth about anything that we've talked about here right now, and certainly about this occupation and what it's doing, the harm it's causing, not just the Palestinian people, but to even just to the average Jewish person living over there. It's not making their life any safer whatsoever.
And I was just going to say that there is a tremendous upside when you have parties that have been in disagreement so far to sit down and look for ways in which they can cooperate with each other. There is much more to be gained than total expenditure, war, death, and everything else. I think the United States should get out of the Middle East. I think they should stop supporting Israel. Let's see if we can keep China and Russia out of there. Let's everybody back off, and let the chips fall where they may in the Middle East, of course, without the nuclear weapons.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
I watch the news quite a bit because I like to see what the propagandists are up to. And what I'm seeing less and less of are people like Bill Kristol, the Big Fox contributor. Richard Perle, when was the last time you saw this guy's mug that looks like it should be hanging on an FBI poster in a post office somewhere? When was the last time you saw Richard Perle? Well, Paul Wolfowitz, I do believe, is off now running the IMF. And, folks, when you really think about it, let me see. We start all this contention, all these arms are being sold, supplies are being used, the Halliburton and the Betchels, and all the money is being expended. Well, and guess who we eventually have to deal with? Oh, that's right, the banks. We've got to borrow money for all this stuff. So it makes perfect sense to me that Paul Wolfowitz would end up at the head of the IMF. And, of course, things are continually to heat up in the Middle East. I just simply follow the money, folks. Steve in New York, you're on with my guest today, Dar Jamal. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hi, John. Yeah, I just, not too long ago, I maybe about 10, 15 minutes from calling, before calling, prior to calling you, I called Verizon and made a complaint about this stuff with the forwarding our records.
Yeah,
with Verizon.
The war on terrorism, yes.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I would advise everybody out there to do the same. Now, I got the same spiel like everyone does. I finally got to a supervisor after they had me holding on for quite a while, and I don't know whether other people are calling too or what, but, you know, she's telling me, well, she'll take down my complaint and so on, so on. So, I mean, she didn't sound totally like that, but she was saying, you know, I can understand you would be concerned, you know, since I'm a customer too. But I asked her what the direct, you know, the either address or the name of the person, the CEO, or the people actually run Verizon on top. And she honestly, I could tell she wasn't lying either. She honestly could not tell me who that was.
Right.
And, of course, it's not published anywhere unless you look up the corporate records. But I would advise everybody out there who's out there listening, if you can, you know, call up Verizon. I think the 800 number of Verizon, the national line, they'll connect you through. I know they close soon. Make a complaint, if not make a complaint Monday. And
right.
Here's the thing I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Let's say I call controversial talk shows like you, another well-known talk show host at night named Jackie Petru on her Sweet Liberty show, but she's off the air now. She resigned off the air latter part of last year.
Mm-hmm.
You may know of her, you know, Jeff Bennett, a couple of people, you know. Let's say if my phone was tapped or, you know, without a warrant.
Right.
How would either me or a lawyer
you won't
get that information?
You won't. Because it's under the guise of national security. If you think you're going to file a Freedom of Information Act.
Right.
To see who's been spying on you, exactly what they've been recording, what the frequency, the length of time, whatever.
Right. Well, I don't have a cell phone, so there's no frequency.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if it's a cell phone, hardline phone. Years ago, the FBI with Echelon, it doesn't matter. You're not going to get an answer to your question because it's a matter of national security.
Even with the Freedom of Information Act.
It doesn't matter. When it comes under the guise of national security, hands off. We can't give you that information. The United States government can't give out information about what they recorded about you because, haven't you got it yet? You may be a terrorist.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm a terrorist. I'm an American citizen here.
Yeah.
I'm a terrorist. Meanwhile, we got millions of this third world filth from flooding over the border, but they're tapping everybody else's phone.
Well, absolutely.
Doesn't that make any sense?
Well, hey, Steve.
Yeah.
Tell me what makes any sense of what the government has done in the last 50 years.
I dare
anybody to tell me that they've done anything positive whatsoever.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thanks for your call.
Except the space program.
Yeah. And some people debate that one. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
Appreciate your
all
call. 800-313-9443. We'll continue our talk here with Dar Jamal. The website, Dar Jamal, I'll have to spell all that out for you in the next hour, but it's daljamariraq.com. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.